Johnny.
Cartels. Gesundheit. Dios te. Como se dice? Dios te. Dios te bendito. Yeah. All right. See, we got everything. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari. Jaya Radha Madhuva Kunyabihari. Gopi jana balaba iribaru dhaguti. Gopi dana balaba iribaru dhaguti. Yasoda nandana braja jana nandahuna. Yasoda nandana braja jana nandahuna. Jamuna tiravana chahoshe. Yamuna te Ravana chalte. Jayaranhu Madhova Kunyabihari. Jayaranhu Madhova Kunyabihari. Gopi jana balaba iribaru dhaguti. Gopi jana balaba Giribaru dhari. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Una tira bana chahote. Yamuna tira bana chahote. Jai huradam baduva kunyabihati. Ayurana Madhuva Kunyabihari. Madhuva Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahansa. Also Tera Siddhishi Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chandanad Abhakta Vananda Gosami Maharishila Prabhupada. Isam founder of Charya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai. Anandagoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai. Namacharya Srila Huyidas Thakur Kijai. Parem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya. Prabhu Nityananda should wait a gadadha. Shiva Sati Gaur Bhakta Vrindikachai Shishi Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lassi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikachai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda Hari 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 Bo. At least some of Nugaloka residents are watching from their beds. Anyway, that's good. Some of the Nugaloka residents are watching from their beds on Zoom. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, reading from the 10th canto, 20th chapter, text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tadidvanto Maha Megash Chanda Swasana Vipitaha Prinandang Jivanang He Asha Vamuchuhu Koruna Iva Tadidvanto Mahamegash Chanda Swasana Vipitaha Prindanam Jivanam Yasya Vamuchu Kurunagiva Atadidvanto Mahavegash Chanda Swasana Vepitaha Prindanam Jivanam Yasya Mochu Koranagiva Tadidvanto Mahamegash Chanda Shasana Vepitaha Prinanam Jivanam Yasha Mochu Koranagiva. Right. Tadit Vantaha, displaying lightning. Mahamegaha, the great clouds. Actually, that word mega reminds me of Megan. Meghananda. So that's Ravana's son, Indrajit, because he had a voice when he was born. It was like a great thunderous cloud. So he's called Meghananda. Meghanan. So, Chanda, fierce. Shvasana, by the wind. Vepitaha, shaken. Vrinanam, the gratification. Jivanam, their life, their water. He, indeed. Asha, of this world. Mamuchuhu, they released. Karunaha, merciful personalities. Eva, just as. So translation, flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds, just like merciful persons. The clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. So you can repeat. Flashing with lightning, great clouds were shaken and swept about by fierce winds. Just like merciful persons, the clouds gave their lives for the pleasure of this world. Mm. So purport, by the servants of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, just as great compassionate personalities sometimes give their lives or wealth for the happiness of society, the rain clouds poured down their rain upon the parched earth. Although the clouds were thus dissipated, they freely provided rainfall for the happiness of the earth. Mm. So in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada comments as follows on this verse. During the rainy season, there are strong winds blustering all over the country and carrying clouds from one place to another to distribute water. When water is urgently needed after the summer season, the clouds are just like a rich man who, in times of need, distributes his money even by exhausting his whole treasury. So the clouds exhaust themselves by distributing water all over the surface of the globe. Then Maharaj Dasharatha, the father of Lord Ramchandra, used to fight with his enemies. It was said that he approached them just like a farmer uprooting unnecessary plants and trees. And when there was a need of giving charity, he used to distribute money exactly as the cloud distributes rain. The distribution of rain by clouds is so sumptuous that it is compared to the distribution of wealth by great, munificent person. The clouds' downpour is so sufficient that the rains even fall on rocks and hills and on the oceans and seas where there is no need for water. A cloud is like a charitable person who opens his treasury for distribution, does not discriminate whether the charity is needed or not. He gives in charity open-handedly. Metaphorically speaking, the lightning and rain clouds is the light by which they see the distressed condition of the earth, and the blowing winds are their heavy breathing, such as that found in a distressed person. Distressed to see the condition of the... distressed to see the condition of the earth, the clouds tremble in the wind just like a compassionate person. Thus they pour down their rain. And then commentary... By Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the clouds agitated by the winds, swasana, release water, even on life on the earth. The clouds are compared to the merciful benefactors, Karuna. As clouds are agitated, vepitaha, by the wind, the merciful person is moved by the suffering of the people. Seeing the suffering of others, those merciful persons, such as Ranti Deva, give up, Mamuchahu, their life, Jivanam, or the water that keeps them alive, and give it to others. This is how the merciful person is compared with the cloud, Jiva Goswami. Karuna indicates natural compassion. The huge clouds with lightning were shaking because of feelings of compassion that arose at that time. The clouds release water just as merciful persons give up even their lives for the welfare of others. The clouds were shaken by many fierce winds. He means certainly, or by the lightning revealing the clouds, or by the lightning revealed in the clouds, is like the merciful revealing their true nature. Another meaning is suggested, trembling with heavy breath like Ranti Deva, they gave water, which was a cause of life. And finally, Sanatana Goswami, Siddhar Swami explains the verse, the shaking and heavy breathing indicates natural symptoms of the living entity, or the shaking indicates sattvika bhava arising from compassion. He indicates certainty or reason. The compassionate people give their lives because they have affection. Okay, so we'll go back to the verse. One second, paging back. Saritvanto mahamegas chanda shasana vepitaha prinanam jivanam yasya mamuchu karana iva. So today we're going to talk about compassion. First of all, we're going to give some examples of compassionate persons, one of whom is mentioned in this purport. And then we're going to speak about how to attain compassion, how to manifest compassion. There's three different ways, which I mentioned last night in my class, those of you who are pious enough to listen to the class last night. So let's have some examples of compassion. Of course, the first example that comes to mind is the one mentioned in the purport, is Ranti Dev. Now, Ranti Dev is quite an interesting personality. I mean, not just interesting, extremely compassionate. And Ranti Dev was fasting with his family for 48 days. I don't suggest that for most of you. That was a different yuga. You could get away with fasting for 48 days. If you fast for 48 days, if you fast for 48 hours, you'll be in trouble. So anyway, so he was fasting for 48 days, and then they had prepared a sumptuous breakfast for him. Ghee. Ghee and things fried in ghee. I'm sure there was sugar there and all sorts of like sumptuous prasadam. Okay. So they bring out this big plate for him. Just, can you imagine, 48 days. You know, it's enough when people fast for Janmashtami and it's midnight. And they can't wait for the aarti to be over. Doesn't that happen sometimes? The aarti's going on, then you come down after the aarti during normal times, non-coronavirus time. And you see people lined up and gorging themselves because it's just they've been fasting the whole day. Anyway, my experience is when you fast, you actually lose your hunger. But, you know, I guess people have different natures. So Ranti Dev was presented with this giant plate along with his family. And along comes a Brahmin. And so naturally, he's Vedic. Vedic means if a Brahmin comes, you give him, you don't eat before him, because if you eat before him, especially if the Brahmin happens to be a Devrasa Muni, you're in trouble. But Ranti Dev was actually compassionate. He wasn't just worried, you know, what am I going to get cursed, or the Brahmin is going to hurt me or somehow, or the, no. So, yeah, it's actually very dangerous not to properly respect Brahmanas. There's that whole story of King Nriga I was just reading the other day in the Bhagavatam. That even by accident, he gave away the same cow twice. You know, the cow he gave to someone wandered back into his herd, and then he gave it back to another Brahmin, and the Brahmin just started arguing, and then he offered to give thousands of cows to each of them. Both of them refused, and he had to take birth as a lizard. It's a big lizard, actually. In the Bhagavatam, it describes the lizard was as big as a mountain, but it's... I think that was a little hyperbole, isn't it? I mean, because Krishna reached his hand out. Of course, Krishna could pick up a mountain, but that's another story. He was in a well. Well, the well, actually, no, because the ancient wells in India were actually quite big. They were actually as big as giant buildings. If you look at some of the pictures of ancient wells, they had like many steps going down to them. So. No, he could have been, because there's water in the bottom. Because there's water in the bottom, but the well itself is quite gigantic. So he could have been stuck because he was trapped in there. Anyway, I don't know. I wasn't there. So anyway, so Ranti Dev, getting back to the merciful story. Randy Dave gave the Brahmana half the food. And so the Brahmana went away. And so he thought, well, there's still plenty for me and the family. So then a Shudra comes. And remember, this is a king, a Kshatriya. He's not discriminated against the Shudras. This is nonsense, you know, philosophy that because someone is born in a certain caste, they actually are unworthy of compassion or unworthy of associating with. Anyway, so he gives the Shudra the food too. And there's more, and frankly, just a quarter of it left at this particular point. And then a man comes with his dogs. A dog man, you know, anyway. And he gives the rest of the food away. Amazing, isn't it? And then he's thinking, well, at least I have what? Water. You know, at least I can quench my thirst. I guess the fast was from water for 48 days, too. So he goes, gets ready to take the water. And then a chandala comes in. The chandala says, chandala. He says, I'm really thirsty. Can I have some water? And he gives the water right to the chandala. And so you would think that, you know, Runti Dave is just like completely frustrated at this point. But he's not. I'm going to read a quote from the Bhagavatam. This is actually a very interesting quote. Runti Dave says, and I forget which, with the citation. I forget the citation of it right now. The exact verse. Runti Dave says, I do not pray to the Supreme Personality Godhead for the eight perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf so they may be freed from suffering. That's like the clouds that are described in this particular verse. And Prabhupada has a very interesting purport, a short purport to this verse. Vasudeva Dutt made a similar statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all living entities in his presence. Vasudeva Dutt submitted that if they were unfit to be liberated, he himself would take all their sinful reactions and suffer personally so that the Lord might deliver them. A Vaishnava is therefore described as being para dukkha dukhi, very much aggrieved by the sufferings of others. As such, a Vaishnava engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. So this is the example given in the purport. Another example I wanted to give was Maharaj Shivi, who's one of the typical examples given of compassion. And that compassion is that if someone actually takes shelter of you, it is very sinful to neglect them. One should be ready to give up their very lives to protect that person. So here's the example. Well, Maharaj Shivi was a great king. And once upon a time, there was a pigeon being chased by an eagle, probably an American eagle. Anyway, being chased by an eagle. It happened to be that that pigeon was Agni and the eagle was Indra. So it was actually a test. So the pigeon arrives at the feet of Maharaj Shivi, and he says, protect me, protect me. You know, I'm being chased by this eagle. Of course, it is the natural food for an eagle, I guess. I mean, I haven't analyzed eagle's food recently. It's the natural food for a big bird to eat a small bird or worms or whatever they eat. So it's not that the eagle was doing something illicit or improper or illegal as far as an eagle is concerned, because different animals are able to eat whatever they eat, and that's not prohibited by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human beings have certain prohibitions because they have the ability to discriminate. So anyway, this pigeon, he took shelter of Maharaj Shivi. And the eagle came, and the eagle said, where is my pigeon? And Maharaj Shivi said, I'm protecting him. I'm adding a little bit to this whole thing. I'm protecting him. And the eagle said, I'm also one of your prajas. Now, what does a praja mean? Praja means that who he was born. But basically, Prabhupada said, he was born in the kingdom. So if the king is in charge of a kingdom, because that's what a king does, the king is actually responsible for all the living entities. That means all the animals, all the plants, what to speak of the human beings, for the protection of all these living entities and the proper engagement of all these living entities. So he was also responsible for the eagle, for the eagle's food. So the eagle made the argument that my food, or one of the types of things I'm allowed to eat, are the birds, pigeons. Okay. So give me something in exchange. So the king was thinking, you know, I can't neglect the pigeon, and I can't neglect the eagle. So it's like what's it called? The horns of a dilemma. Avoidance or something, approach, whatever. And so anyway, so he's thinking, what am I going to do? And so then he begins to cut off his own flesh. He said, I'm going to give you as much flesh from my body as equals the weight of the pigeon. So they put him on the pigeon on his scale. And the king kept tearing off his flesh, putting it onto the other side of the balance. That's the type of scale they had. It was not electronic scale. So he kept peeling off his flesh or cutting off his flesh. Can you imagine? And finally, the pigeon was too heavy. So then the king just like what? Sat down on the scale and he offered himself to the eagle so the pigeon could be protected. Wow, what a story. And then, of course, then the pigeon and the eagle revealed themselves and the king was blessed. And they lived happily ever after. And then the final story I'm going to tell about compassion is actually perhaps the most interesting story about compassion. It's an interesting story. This involves the story of Visvarupa and Chitraketu and Adichie. So I'm going to go very quickly through the story. Once upon a time, Indra offended Brihaspati because he ignored his guru because he had his wife by his side and he was being praised by all the demigods. Actually, I forgot to put the microphone on. Anyway, here we go. Sorry about that. Hare Krishna. Whoops. Actually, in the ecstasy of all this electronic stuff, I forgot to put my... stuff. It's hard to remember all the different details. So let's get back to the story. So here's the story. So Indra offended Brihaspati because he had Sachi, you know, on his lap or by his side. Indra and the demigods were defeated. Demons became more powerful. Brahma preached to the demigods and said, you know, you want to get more powerful, you got to accept this person, Visvarupa is your priest, who was the son of Tvashta. Of course, Visvarupa had some tendencies because he had family members on both sides, the demons and the devotees. And Visvarupa taught the demigods the Narayana Kavacha. And then Visvarupa started offering oblations to Indra and also to the demons. And so Indra got very upset with him, cut off the three heads of Visvarupa. And then Indra became very sinful. I'm not going to describe that whole thing because it's sometimes not politically correct. And Tvashta, the father of Visvarupa, got very angry and he created this personality. He sort of mispronounced the mantras a little bit, of Ritrasura, who was going to attack and destroy the demigods. And Ritrasura started to swallow the demigods. Indra couldn't do anything about it. And so Indra goes to Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu, says you should approach Dadichi, who is the guru of the Ashwini Kumaras, and by approaching him, ask him for his bones, because he also was chanting the Narayana Kavacha, so his bones became so strong, they're stronger than any thunderbolt you have. And Adichie was a very interesting personality, because once upon a time, the Ashwini Kumaras wanted to approach Adichie for initiation, and they wanted to learn the spiritual science. And Indra said, no, do not teach them the spiritual science, because if you teach them the spiritual science, I'm going to cut your head off. So the Ashwini Kumaras, being physicians, took Didichi's head off first and replaced it with a horse head. Interesting story. And so when Indra came, after Didichi instructed the Ashwini Kumaras with a horse head and the spiritual science, he cut off the horse head, and the Ashwini Kumaras put back the regular head of Didichi. Quite an interesting personality. Don't try that at home. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So Indra goes to Didichi to get his bones, because if you're going to take someone's bones, you got to kill them, or they have to die first. You know, you can't just like, give me your bones. Give me your bones and I'll give you some prasad. No, so he goes to him and he asks for his bones. Okay. And Didichi, there's an interesting conversation here, which I want to read, between Didichi and Indra. And Didichi is a little sarcastic in the beginning, apparently refusing, but then he does that to teach Indra a lesson. So here's Didichi. And so the demigods, I'm going to I'll read this. The demigods approached Didichi, the son of Atharva. He was very liberal, and when they begged him to give them his body, he at once partially agreed. However, just to hear religious instructions from them, he smiled and jokingly spoke as follows. O elevated demigods, at the time of death, severe unbearable pain takes away the consciousness of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Don't you know about this pain? In this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to his material body. Struggling to give his body, to keep his body forever, everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver this body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? And then the demigods preached him a little bit. O exalted Brahman and pious persons like you, whose activities are praiseworthy, are very kind and affectionate to people in general. Why can't such pious souls give for the benefit of others? They can give everything, including their bodies. Those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pain. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Similarly, he was able to give charity, does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want as charity. The great sage Didichi said, just to hear from you about this religious principle, I refuse to offer my body at your request. This is 10.6.10.7, if you want the citation. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow. Wow. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity and its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Wow. What a quote. If one is unhappy to see the distress of other living beings and happy to see their happiness, his religious principles are appreciated as imperishable by exalted persons who are considered pious and benevolent. This body, which is eatable by jackals and dogs after death, does not actually do any good for me. The spirit soul, it is usable only for a short time and may perish in any moment. The body and its possessions, its riches and relatives must all be engaged for the benefit of others, or else they will be the sources of tribulation and misery. These are powerful quotes. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said to Didichi Muni, the son of Atharva thus resolved to give his body in the service of the demigods. He placed himself, the spirit soul, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and in this way gave up his gross material body made of five elements. Dadichi Muni controlled his senses, life force, mind, and intelligence, and became absorbed in trance. Thus, he cut all his material bonds. He could not perceive how his material body became separated from himself.
Wow.
So, now I'd like to talk about how we can manifest compassion. How about that? So, of course, the highest principle is you actually are a paradukha dukhi. That is, you have so much compassion, so much empathy, it's overwhelming compassion that you can't control yourself from helping people. You see people suffering. You're fully aware of the philosophy. I mean, this sounds like a Sankirtan class. Everyone out there, you know, I remember the Sankirtan classes. Everyone out there, their next body will be what? Animals or dogs, cockroaches. This is how we used to preach. I'm sure Radha Damodar said the same thing. And unless you help them, this is their last opportunity for the human form of life. Right? And it is true. And so, and you see people like that suffering, you see their faces, you go on Sankirtan, you see their faces, just miserable. Even when they're smiling, they're just covering up their unhappiness. And so that's an impetus. You know, go out there, save the world, joy, hoodie bowl. Anyway, so that's good after a heavy Sankirtan class. But a pure devotee is feeling that at every minute. And you see in Srila Prabhupada's example, he didn't have anyone like preaching to him about it. Saying, go out, Abhay, and save the world. You know, actually the spiritual master told him that, but it's not that he had a pep talk every day like in Sankirtan class. So it was part of his nature. Just like we're chanting every morning about the Vaishnava, to the Vaishnavas, you know, Panchakalpa, Dhruvisha, Kripa Sindhu Vyabhacha. Kripa Sindhu means they're, what, an ocean. Ocean is unlimited of compassion and mercy, and just they've seen the suffering and they can't restrain themselves. Okay, that's a pretty high platform. You know, when I go to Walmart, I can't say that, you know, I'm looking at everybody at Walmart and thinking, oh my God, I have to save them all. I have one disciple who thinks like that. She goes out and gets everyone to say what? Anyone know? Gauranga. You know, I get these long letters from her every month, you know, like with thousands of different stories. You know, I'm exaggerating. About how she gets people to say Gauranga. And I just go out and I just try to get the best deal possible from someone. And Prabhupada was like that too. You know, not like me, but he was overwhelmed with compassion. So when he was speaking to someone, no matter what question they would ask, he would preach to them. You know, they could ask some question, you know, and he would answer the question sometimes. But actually, he said what was necessary to bring them to Krishna. He wasn't just thinking of defending himself or answering their question. He was thinking of, that's a spirit soul. I want to bring him to Krishna. And sometimes, even when he was talking to a professor, he would chastise the professor. You know, I remember there was one professor of Indology. He called him a rascal. And it got the professor to admit at the end of the discussion, I'm a rascal. Anyway, so Prabhupada was impelled by that mood of compassion. But if we are in a situation, or we're in the mood, or our level of advancement is not so great, how do we inspire ourselves to go out and help people? Well, there's two other ways that I was thinking of, and I mentioned in class last night. One is that we think of the pleasure of the spiritual master. That, you know, that's very, so to speak, down to earth. Of course, the spiritual master is not down to earth, so to speak. But we have a personal relationship with the spiritual master. And for many of us, it's easier to relate to that than to relate, let's say, to curing Krishna's headache or something like that, or to compassion. You know, that's the other way we can get we can manifest compassion is think of Krishna's suffering. Krishna has a headache. To relieve his headache is compassion for the conditioned souls. We can do that. But for me, on a practical level, I like to think about Prabhupada. And I think, you know, what would please Prabhupada? And by thinking about that, that to me, that's more stable than thinking about, you know, compassion for all living entities or Krishna's headache and you got to cure Krishna's headache. It's just like, it's way up there. I mean, maybe all of you are different, but I'm just being honest about myself. So, but I think of Srila Prabhupada's order and Srila Prabhupada smiling, Srila Prabhupada being pleased with me, then it just really impels me to try to give. Now, I can't say I'm on the level of Ranti Dev or Dadichi or any of these other people, but to, you just make some sacrifices. You know, sometimes people ask, you know, why are you giving an initiation? We have an initiation scheduled for the 26th. And, you know, it's karma, whatever. You know, Prabhupada did say karma. One gets karma, one gets a reaction. You know, one gets a dream, one gets sick. One gets, you know, so many things, legal problems or something like that. So one does that to please the spiritual master. I mean, at least that's my mood, to please Prabhupada. Because we want to please Prabhupada by not only bringing people to his lotus feet, but ensuring the longevity of our movement. In other words, it's important to bring a lot of young people, not just older people, to Krishna consciousness, because we have to think about what's going to happen in the future and train up young people in understanding Srila Prabhupada's position, which we're discussing right now on the GBC. You know, what is Prabhupada's position, or how to put Prabhupada's position properly into the constitution. It's an interesting discussion. We had that yesterday when it was class time, that we have a constitution, how to describe Prabhupada. And of course, I made the point that until you do your hermeneutical analysis, how can you start writing about Prabhupada's position, isn't it? They're just putting the cart before the horse. But actually, what can I say? Nobody listens to me. I'm a voice in the wilderness crying out. So anyway, so if we think about Prabhupada, and everybody in ISKCON should have a relationship with Prabhupada. And then when you're thinking of pleasing Prabhupada, then Prabhupada's compassion can actually manifest through you. Or if your spiritual master happens to be compassionate, manifesting Prabhupada's compassion, then it manifests through you. And it's amazing. And we've experienced that when we've gone out and preached Krishna consciousness, even though we're not claiming that we have any compassion. When we preach, we just feel this compassionate energy, the bhakti shakti, coming through us as we're explaining Krishna consciousness to others and bringing other people to Krishna consciousness. And we should be willing to sacrifice our lives. And Prabhupada actually said that one time, you spend so many lives serving what illusion, you should sacrifice this one life for Krishna. So we should be ready to sacrifice our lives for the welfare of others. And that will please His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. So I'll leave a minute over for class. Yes, Mother Ermila. Yeah, because you can't save others until you save yourself. Yes, it's part of saving others. And actually, by giving others Krishna consciousness, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? No one is more dear to me than he who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to others. And by giving other people Krishna consciousness, and of course we have to be Krishna, that goes without saying. You know, the foundation or being able to give people Krishna consciousness means we have to be able to chant our rounds, follow the regulated principles, and follow the rest of the sadhana process given to us by Srila Prabhupada. But let's say accepting that foundation, the way to make rapid spiritual progress is to give others Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Well, that's not, no, that's not good. That's why I said there's a foundation. The foundation, of course, thank you for mentioning that. They have to take care of their health. Because if they don't take care of their health, how are they going to be able to help people? If you're dead, then you have to wait at least 9 months, especially if you're a very precocious child, only 9 months, to help others. Probably have to wait a lot longer than that. So yes, it goes without saying that this is also part of reaching out and preaching people. But the impetus should be to help others, to please His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, relieve Krishna's headache, or to relieve others' suffering. Anyway, so thank you very much.
Christmas is yours, you have the power given to me. I am simply running behind you, shouting, Christmas!